Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Have you ever wanted to see Clueless meets Twilight? Well, here it is, everybody.
Yes, here it is.
We have it.
If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us to watch and relive these tales in painful and excruciating detail.
Of course.
Thank you for your reviews. Thank you for your Patreon donations. And thank you for being you.
Thank you for everything. We appreciate you joining us.
Yes, we appreciate you guys.
In bad moviedom.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The last time that we were able to convene, James...
Oh, what did we watch last time?
We watched Look Who's Talking.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's right. Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you have time, of course you have time, you should look up on YouTube the baby talk pilot. It's a TV show.
Yeah, bad
that
stuff.
Was basically, so Phil Rosenthal was one of the writers on this show, and Phil Rosenthal is the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
You should watch Exporting Raymond. You should
it's
watch
a funny documentary.
Somebody Feed Phil. You should listen to You're Lucky
Phil's
You're funny.
Funny.
He's a funny man.
Yeah.
He's but anyway,
funnier
so he,
than Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes, yeah. If you hate Everybody Loves Raymond, just understand that this was all just.
Yeah, that's either way.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Baby Talk.
Yeah, the pilot of
the
this
pilot
is,
of this show what? Is based on the movie Look Who's Talking.
Yeah, it's obviously. It has so George Clooney playing the Travolta role.
Yeah, they were basically like, that did well.
Yeah.
Can we turn it into a TV series?
Like they did and with everything back then. There was a Ferris Bueller show. There was all
you,
the shows.
You thought that Bruce Willis was your baby. You did not expect that Tony Danza could be your baby.
No, but he could.
Which, hey, guy.
Hey, listen. I don't know what's going on with this guy.
I'm a friggin' baby. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody, I'm a baby. I'm still named Tony, but I'm a baby. I'm baby Tony now. That's how it works.
So Tony Danza is the baby, and he is like stereotypical. He might as well be like Maron.
Yeah, Maron. Look at this guy, but he's like a blonde baby. But he's still like, look at the cans on this one. Oh, come over here, sweetheart.
He is. Tony Danza as a baby is a preferable experience.
Johnny, give me some scungeel, would you? I'm going to try to romance this broad. Maybe a plate of scungeel will do it. You know?
Oh, I wanted sausage and peppers.
That's the baby, by the way. Yeah, sausage and peppers from the baby. So, yeah, that's a mess. So check that out on YouTube.
They don't have like a Gerber sausage and peppers.
That
sounds like something that your mom would do.
My grandmother.
Do you remember when I had like a bunch of dental work done and your mom was texting me and she's like, please make sure that my son makes you pastina.
Yeah, yeah.
And all this stuff. And she was threatening that if you don't take care of me, she's going to kill you.
Yeah, all these weird Italian remedies.
Yeah. She's like, make sure my son feeds you pastina.
Oh, God. Well, okay, it's better than feeding you Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
No. Okay, so the last time we hung out, we watched Look Who's Talking, and then this time we watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the 1992 film.
The original.
Or as Joss Whedon calls, the origin, because it's like a whole nerd. Okay, let me tell you something. I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I know
that
you do.
One is like, I mean, it's just really is my jam. I used to watch it every day before school. I'm obsessed with it. I was watching it this morning. I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
But the TV Buffy, now I've never seen
cooler.
An entire episode of it, but it definitely...
That sounds like we should do that.
No, we should
not.
It definitely has a different tone than the movie.
Yeah.
The movie is almost a spoof. It's like an attempt at, like, they couldn't go all the way with the spoof.
Yeah.
So they were like, it has to be real, but, like, sort of put some spoofy shit in it.
And also, you forget, like, from 1992 to 1997, I think that the series came out.
Yeah.
That's, like, two completely different, like, 90s. There's, like, the 90s are split into, it's, like, the early 90s and then late 90s.
Yeah. When they filmed this movie, like, 91, it's still the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, it says 91 the calendar, but everybody's still wearing, like, brightly colored shit. Like, it's still it's a different time from 97 was, like, a totally different period from that.
Because the gals in 1992, California, are very valley girl.
Yeah, they're like, oh, my God.
As if.
By 97, then, they're, like, dark.
They're a little darker.
They've all tried heroin.
They've experienced things.
It's a totally different thing.
And mostly it's vicariously through whatever Kurt Cobain
or pre-Nirvana, like, post-Nirvana experience.
Is it Portishead?
Whoa.
That one band in, like, the 90s?
I don't know. They were, I've heard of, they were around at some point, but they weren't one of the Pearl Jam and Nirvana and all that.
We watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer 1992.
It
was 1 hour and 26 minutes.
Merciful.
But, we watched it on Amazon Prime Video, and there were fucking ads. I don't know how there were ads, but there were ads.
They turned 126 into 145 real quick and just completely...
they took advantage of us.
They ruined our whole thing here. We were like, hey, we're getting away with something. Look at this, an hour 26. They're like, nope, fuck you. Bend over the hood.
You will pay the piper.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
IMDb description. Flighty teenage girl Buffy Summers learns that she is her generation's destined battler of vampires, I suppose.
Why, there has to be somebody, right?
Tagline, pert, wholesome, way lethal.
Pert?
Yeah, pert.
Sometimes we're going with pert on
we're
this
going
one?
With pert.
Wow, all right.
All I think of is pert plus. I understand that pert is a word, but I just think of pert plus, and that's the shampoo.
The only times I've heard the word pert used are for shampoo / conditioner. And in reference to tits. So, like, that's
well, that's
weird.
What I think that they're going for. Pert, wholesome, way lethal. And but she was pert.
Every single scene, her nips are
blasted.
I mean, it's like she's got prosthetic nips on, I think. They might have just said slap some prosthetic nips on her because it's like hardcore.
Pert.
Every scene. She is the pertest of the pert.
Pert.
Girl, you pert.
Ma'am.
She's pert.
Invest in a jacket, a bra, anything.
She had a bra, and that's the thing. These nipples were bra-proof. They were like steel nipples she
had. Okay, ready? Baby Tony Danza with Buffy.
Oh, Buffy, look at the tits on this one. Oh, her nipples are bland. Oh, my God, it's making me hungry. Look at this broad. Oh, man, it's time for dinner, huh, buddy? Hey, oh.
Pert.
Yeah, because the baby likes tits, but then also wants to eat from them. And look,
well, the baby looks at the baby looks at the boobs like it's like a hunk of meat.
Yeah, like, oh, hey, look at that. Like you'd see like a 24-ounce ribeye or something.
Pert.
Hey, pert. Look at pert on those.
Sometimes it takes more than just good looks to kill. Mm-hmm. She knows a sucker when she sees one.
Oh, boy.
Which I take umbrage with that one, but that's okay. Homework, cheerleading practice, killing vampires. Nobody said high school would be easy.
Okay, well, I mean, that fits the tone of the movie.
Okay, fun fact.
What?
Okay, everybody, James used to have a big crush on Christy Swanson.
I didn't have a big crush on Christy Swanson. I said, no, I never said that.
The fun fact, James.
I said when I was 12, everybody thought Christy
Swanson
was cute.
Fun fact, James. Are you ready?
What?
Alyssa Milano was originally set to play Buffy, which... That did you have a big crush
that
on?
That would have been... Well, that was... Yeah. I had a big crush on her from the time I was very small because she had an Italian last name. And so me, my cousin Jesse, we'd sit there and we'd be like, oh, wow. I mean, like, yeah, we could marry her. I mean, Grandma would be okay with it. It'd be all right. Like, she's the only Italian fucking girl on television that we saw.
Would Grandma let you marry her knowing that she's a vampire slayer?
Probably. I think she'd say, well, you know, she's got things that she does and that's okay. You know,
would she give her some garlic?
What can she cook? That's what she'd say. She knows how to make sauce. It's, you know, you can work with it. It's okay.
All right. As long as that's anyway.
Yeah.
So, all right, James, we go straight into this movie. Okay.
Yeah. Right into Dark Ages. We're in the Dark Ages. ASAP.
We begin with Europe in the Dark Ages. And it's like this voiceover, you know, the only person who can slay the vampires are the slayer.
Yeah.
And blah, 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 blah. And then it's Christy Swanson. And she is got a wig on and an outfit and looking like a wishbone flashback where they're like in the, you know, middle times, and then everyone's talking to a Jack Russell Terrier and just accepting that.
Yeah.
They're just like, what's the story, Wishbone? Okay.
The set is very like shampoo commercial quality too.
Pert.
It's not, it's, yeah, it's Pert.
This is a big Pert.
It's a
plus
big
Pert commercial.
Plus commercial.
Okay.
Sponsored by Pert. This movie. They put up the budget for this.
Everybody had great hair.
I mean, yeah, it's the...
Nary a dandruff.
No, not a flake in the bunch.
So then it's Donald Sutherland, and he's Let Satan Tremble, the Slayer is Born. So now we're cutting to present day, 1992. Cut
it says
to
the Light Ages.
Yes, it says the Light Ages. cut to cheerleading. Christy Swanson is cheerleading. Some girls are wearing full body suits. Other ones are just wearing like
it's so,
a leotard.
There's no rhyme or reason.
There's no pattern to it. It's fine. These cheerleaders are not that good.
This is a terrible routine.
We watched Bring It On.
I was going to say.
No.
Based on my experience watching Bring It On, this looked like they didn't even like... This was an afterthought. They didn't get like a choreographer to work. The director was like, I don't know, has anybody here been a cheerleader? And one of the girls was like, I was a cheerleader. And they're like, okay. Do one of your things. And she was like, just do like your pom-poms right, left.
Yeah.
They practiced for 10 minutes and they were like, we're filming it. Let's go. Blocking's over. They were like, ball. It was all like slow motion.
It was
crazy. A bad cheer.
All the blocking.
I could have done better than that.
I challenge you to.
I could have done better.
I challenge you to do this.
I could have. I've seen Bring It On. I feel like I could
quit saying could have.
Probably put it together. We'll see.
Words into deeds.
Well, maybe.
Okay.
You never
anyway.
Know.
So... In this, okay, so there's like, they're doing their cheer, and they're cheering during like a basketball game. There's a table full of, I think, a panel of judges for the basketball game?
No.
Are they just like the announcer? I don't know. There's a table of men. They're the scorekeeper.
Yeah, people like
and
that.
And they are watching the cheerleading, and they're like dancing.
Everybody's like, dancing.
Like,
to
they've never seen... Let me tell you, if you are there, you are not dancing because you are so desensitized to this.
And what music was it? It was like just some like generic soundtrack, like made for this movie soundtrack shit. So it wasn't even like, oh, this is a good song everybody knows.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, it was supposed to be in the world of the movie. I hate when they do that.
Yeah.
They put some generic soundtrack pop song in there and everyone's supposed to like know that song and love it.
Yeah.
It's like, pay for a fucking song we all know and we'll all bob our fucking heads to it. They don't have to pretend and we all go, what is this shit? And try to figure out what it is.
It might have been a song that we know, but
that'll cost,
just,
in 92,
I
that'll cost
remember.
You 50 grand to get a decent fucking song
like,
on a multi-million dollar budget movie.
I worked at the comedy club, okay, and there were so many times where, and there was a bar next door, and they had live bands performing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
they did.
The Sweet Caroline bomp, bomp, bomp,
oh,
is not fun because I leave my body for that.
It's only
that.
Fun for drunk people from Boston.
And then when you go to like the first night at the comedy club and you're like, yeah, this is fun. Like this guy, like blah, blah, blah. The jokes get old by night three. You're like,
yeah.
Okay. And then you're just like,
that person's going to do five sets over the weekend and they're all going to be pretty similar. So.
And if you have to see all of them, you're like, oh, here he goes again with the bread thing. And then, you know what I mean?
Into that
like,
again. Here we
so
go.
The cheerleading, you're not that enthused about it. I'm sure they're doing great.
No.
But human beings don't, whatever. So anyway, the coach is super weird. He's like, I am a person and I have a right to the ball.
Yeah, he's got like a Pat Riley thing going on with the slick back hair. But he's, everything is... What?
Oh, go ahead. Everything is.
Everything is not straight in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, everything is sort of not sarc. That's what I mean. It's like not a spoof.
Yeah.
They
Everybody is a caricature of.
Yeah, they couldn't commit to the entire, like, airplane spoof or, like, you know, scary movie later on.
If you were a
they
jock,
like,
you were a jock.
Yeah.
Like, you were like. Yeah.
Almost to the point of it being like where they're like, hi, I'm the jock. I'm going to beat nerds up. Like to the point of it being a satire. But they couldn't commit all the way. That's what made it. If they went 10% further, it could have been a really good movie.
It had like the...
But they couldn't do it.
Like of like a 50s type movie where like the jocks all wore their Letterman's jackets and like that really wasn't happening in the 90s. And then like
but
the
it's
girls
still kind
were
of the 80s
there.
Though.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
It was. It's weird.
This movie has an 80s like Teen Wolf almost.
Yes, it
quality
did. Very much
to
Teen
it.
Wolf.
But Teen Wolf was less of a satire.
Yeah.
So it was that's why it worked. And if it was more of a satire, it would have worked. But this is somewhere in the middle and it's kind of shitty.
Kind of nothing. Okay. So we're in the gymnasium at a high school, and There's a sign in the back that says hog power because they're like the Hemery hogs. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just a hilarious sign to write hog power. Okay.
Yeah.
So Hilary Swank is in this movie. She's in the fucking bleachers and she's like, you know, are you a friend of the squad or like, are you a weirdo? Because you're like doing all the dances and like,
yeah,
you know, whatever. But then isn't she a cheerleader for the rest of the movie? And she's like mad at Christy for not being part of practice or something.
I don't know what Hilary Swank's role in this is, and I don't know why they wouldn't just make her one of the cheerleaders. That's what I don't get, because she's in the stands while they're cheerleading, and she's dancing along,
and
like,
doing, like,
cheering
she's, like,
along.
She's doing the shimmy, but she doesn't seem to have anything wrong with her.
That's what I mean. It's not like she has, like, a broken leg or something, like she's an injured reserve from the cheer team. And she hangs out with all the cheerleaders. She's mad at Christy Swanson, like you said, for missing cheer practice, but it's like, you're not on the fucking, you're not a cheerleader. What do you fucking care what she
does? And, like, also, are you a friend of the squad or are you like,
I don't get what
what's
her
going
role,
on with
I don't
you.
Know what her role is, honestly.
Yeah.
I really don't. Is so, she like the then, cheer manager?
And then also, because then we go to the mall and it's Christy Swanson and she's talking that she got a C+ on her history test and everybody's like, ew, I can't believe I copied off of you.
Yeah.
In this movie, there's a lot of volleyball talk and it is the worst. I hate it.
What's your sitch?
What's the sitch?
Sitch is something they say constantly. What's
and
the sitch?
What's
sitch?
The sitch?
What's your sitch?
The other thing, James, I don't know if you noticed this one, not just what's the sitch, but another phrase that they kept saying over and over again, didn't matter, is what's with you?
What's with you is great. That wasn't just this movie, though. That's
no, we were that saying was like the 90s.
In the 90s, when someone was acting... They could be acting weird of just a little bit off, maybe zoning out, or a full-fledged vampire floating off the ground. And the correct response to either of those things would be, what's with you?
Yeah, you're being fucking weird.
That
what's
means,
with
what's
you?
Going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's non-judgmental.
Yeah.
Because it might be like, oh, I'm having a bad day, I don't feel good. It's, what's with you? There's something off, but it's not like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
It's
so anyway,
perfect.
I...
Perfect level of aggression.
I am going to be bringing this back into... my
everyday
vernacular.
Life
just like if I just don't understand the vibe
what's
or anything
you?
Like that just what's with you
you know? Like it
I don't I'm just I won't stand for it anymore
I think you're onto something because
well
what's
no
with
the children
you,
of the 90s were onto something okay so the girls are going they're at the mall and then they decide they're gonna go to movies but like what movies are we gonna go to
and they argue well,
they're talking they're not
gross.
Talking about what movie to see
no.
they're talking about what movie theater
oh,
to
that
go
one's
to
ushers are like
so like let's go to gross. AMC how about just like find a fucking movie and go to it
that one doesn't even have Dolby and they were like arguing about it and they finally pick one and they get in an elevator and here comes D-Sub into effect.
Yeah, and then so they're
peering at teenage girls in the mall.
Oh my
Perfect.
God. He's got to wear like a creepy like trench coat, like
a hat.
Like looks unshaven like he hasn't he
looks like a 40s private
like
investigator
the,
who slept in his office last night.
He looks like the Groton's fishing guy on the Frozen Gorton's or
Gorton,
Groton's?
Gorton.
Gorton's. Yeah. Whatever. He looks like the fishing guy. Apologies to him.
Well,
because he's the only one that I have offended by saying that.
He goes out there. Hey, listen.
Except for the Gorton
listen,
family. I apologize
Gorton goes
the Gorton
out,
family.
He goes out there every goddamn day.
It
he braves
like,
the waves and the salt water and misses his family. And Mrs. Gorton is at home and all the little kids
Mrs.
to get
Gorton
you
knows what she
your
signed up for.
Delicious fish sticks. So don't you say a bad goddamn word about Mr.
My
Gorton.
My frozen fish sticks?
Yeah, they're goddamn delicious. And he's out there getting them specifically. He said, ah,
I
this,
know they're delicious.
This batch is for Sarah. And he brings in.
I don't think that he does that.
There we go. She's going to love this one.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Mr.
We're going to mince it up and bread it.
Donald Sutherland looks like the Gorton's fish stick man.
He doesn't.
But if he like got an L.L. Bean catalog.
If he got if his trench coat and hat were slickers and not fabric, then yeah.
And he had to buy those things out of a catalog. Do you remember catalogs?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, your grandparents and shit would have catalogs. My grandmother got everything. In
Love
catalogs.
A catalog.
Yeah, what, racist okay. man, all catalog.
So anyway, now we're at the movies. The girls are being so loud and talkative at the movies, and Luke Perry and David Arquette are sitting behind the girls, and they are being the protectors of the arts. So the girls are being loud and obnoxious, and they are drunk.
Yeah, they
three sheets to
out.
The wind. They are sitting in their seats, not having bathed in a while. And
they're total dirtbags, yeah.
They are kicking on the seat in front of them to be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
We paid good money for this. We just want to watch
And
the
Luke
movies.
Perry's like, no, he didn't. He's like, oh, yeah. Because they snuck in, obviously.
Well, yeah. Because how else are you going to convey?
Ooh, yeah.
How else are you going to convey that they are dirtbags by saying, like, we paid good money for this. And no, we didn't.
No,
oh,
we didn't.
Whatever.
We drink out of a flask at the movies.
Yeah. So there's these dudes in a convertible. They're popping up. The girls are talking about how Buffy says, my parents are going out of town. And I'm going to have my boyfriend over.
It's
going
to totally bang me. It's going to be amazing.
But no banging happened.
I think it did. I think that's when they cut away.
It was just so uneventful that we didn't get like a makeout scene. It was just the Jiffy Pop.
Well, I think it just goes to show he was kissing on her neck. She wasn't really into it, but she was like, well, I invited him over. I'll let him hump on me for a while.
Wow.
That was the vibe I got. And it was like, eh, whatever. I mean, I guess it's a pretty sad relationship.
There's dudes in a convertible and they're like, it's a full moon. Let's go out and party.
Yeah, let's party. Screaming it.
And this guy,
it's dude from Dazed and Confused.
Got,
the fuck is his name?
He has like the biggest eyebrows I've ever seen.
Him, yeah.
On a human being. A
lot of Dazed and Confused alum in this movie. Same time period. And, definitely a lot of those. Even Affleck pops up for a second. Ben Affleck is one of the players. He has one line.
And he crushed it.
He cried. He's like, what the fuck, man? You're a vampire.
Christy Swanson leans over the car, and she's under this guy's nose that's in the passenger seat. And she, like, shares a Twizzler and makes out with her boyfriend who's driving. And the friend is like, I don't mean to sound sexist, but can I borrow her? And I'm like, and then you're wondering why she fucking slammed you up against the lockers later on in the movie?
Well, also, she laid across him with her ass in his face. He was sitting at the door. But I mean, her ass was like...
Yeah.
In his face, which was a very weird way to lay.
But then he's
the borrow her part was disgusting.
Yeah,
but, I mean, it was like that was a odd way to lay.
I was just saying he shouldn't be surprised that he got fucking thrown into the locker later.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah. But anyway, so now we're in the cemetery, and the eyebrows guy was like, "Okay, whoever is behind me, better show yourself, or you know, be gone by the time I turn around." And it is Pee Wee Herman in a wig on a merry-go-round. Okay, so Pee Wee Herman is a vampire.
If I ever see a mouse, I'm calling him Pee Wee Vermin. What's up, Pee Wee Vermin?
Pee Wee Herman is a vampire, and I'm not sure what happened to me just then, but Pee Wee Vermin, sorry. Sorry, Paul Rubens, I'm sorry.
I fucking love Paul Rubens. I think he's a goddamn genius, and I think he's great. I don't care.
He was not a good vampire. Okay.
He played it like the movie should have been played, I thought. He played it full on satire, and I think that's what they told him to do, because like his death scene was obviously, I mean, they went to the credits afterwards. Like, that was what they told him to do. There's like half the movie's characters, they said, this is like total satire, over the top.
All the vampires are supposed to be hilarious.
But then the other half of the cast are like, just like a regular teen, like rom-com movie. Don't worry. It's like a, you know.
But then sometimes the teens are like, like they're like, you know.
Half the actors seem to have been told a different tone than the other half of the actors.
She says to the vampire at the end, she's like, oh, please.
Yeah.
The boldness, what's with you? And
what's
to say
you?
To a vampire's face, ugh, please.
Please. Yeah. Which in the 90s, that was like your stinging response was, ugh, please. And that was like, oh, man, she rejected the fuck out of him.
So we keep flashing back to the old ages in these nightmares. So Christy Swanson is in a wig and she stabs a vampire in the chest with a stake.
Christy's having nightmares.
We go to...
Christy Swanson's nightmares this week, this summer on Discovery Channel.
She's probably looking for some work. I'd like to hear about Christy Swanson's nightmares.
She's batshit raving crazy now. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. She's crazy.
So now we go to Pee Wee Herman, and he looks like he's in that once bitten like house. Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
And it's like this like beautiful.
Yeah, it's like the once bitten house. Yeah.
This beautiful coffin with like a red light coming out of it.
That's, yeah. You know,
it looks just like the Once Bitten mansion.
Yeah. Once Bitten, again, hit the tone better. Mm-hmm. Once Bitten was like almost like they never could get the tone down. Once Bitten's a little bit off the other direction, and this is a little bit off in this direction. But it does remind me of Once Bitten a lot.
So Pee Wee Herman is the, what's that guy's name?
Whoa. I don't know.
Once Bitten.
Oh, Sebastian.
Sebastian. So Pee Wee Herman is kind of like the Sebastian of...
Chauffeur and a butler and a slut who eats buttons.
Yes. So Pee Wee Herman is like the... He's like, oh, it's okay, master. Like, I'm planning a new generation of vampires for you. Like, yeah, you know, you're not strong enough yet.
Building your army.
I'm building an army. Like, whatever. Then we go back to high school.
Which is the same plot of One Spitten, too.
Yeah.
They're recruiting. Well, recruiting virgins.
Yeah, but hers is more like
The vampires have the same plot. The vampires are trying to recruit a new generation.
So now we go back to high school, and I also love, these are those scenes where they have them all like walking and they're hanging out like on the quad or something like that, and they always have in the 90s these Valley Girls, and the Valley Girls will say one thing that's like kind of smart.
Yeah, one thing they saw on the news as they walked through the kitchen.
Huh, and the ozone is like totally breaking. Yeah. I saw it on the news.
Yeah, we have to fix it by...
We have to take care of our environment.
Totally. So let's have like a shop-a-thon for the environment.
So they're planning the school dance and they're going to spend all this money to, you know, put flowers and all this stuff on the walls to decorate for this dance, as opposed to like... All the money that we're using on flowers, we could probably like donate it.
No,
we need to have a party.
They're very vapid. The one girl decides that not liking insects is a good thing to talk about.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a good like charity theme is that we hate insects and they're bad for everything.
So they go to this like diner, which is kind of like a teen like dive bar.
It looks like a dive bar. It's not even the Peach Pit. It's not even like
because in Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
a dive bar.
In the TV show, they all go to the Bronze and it's like a nightclub like... let's just say I wouldn't go there because I'd be like, ugh, people I don't like are going to be there.
This place looks like a really sleazy dive bar, though. This is like a gross place.
And Ricky Lake works there.
Yeah, Ricky Lake works. That's right. Ricky Lake is the waitress. She has she says like you can get a hot dog or a coffee or some shit.
Fucking David Arquette just like drops like a butterscotch candy and like a bunch of like coins at her, and he's like, what does this get me? And she's
loose change, gum wrappers, one of those strawberry candies with the fruit in the middle, all sorts of that your grandmother has in her purse, all sorts of weird shit.
What was that
with the strawberry wrapper? It looks
in
like
Arrested Development where they go to that like kitchen where they like can trade things for food.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me of. He's like, how much does this get me? And like a hot dog with no toppings on it. Like
just on her tray. Just a handful of garbage from his pocket.
And then she's like, I'm Charlotte. I'll be your waiter. Like, there's no way that she... as if, please.
That's the thing. It was like a teenage dive bar. It wasn't like teenagers who were in a dive bar.
No.
It was all teenagers. It was a teenage dive bar. It was like Grease's.
It was for the teenagers by the teenagers.
It was the Grease diner, but 90s style, like a dive bar. It was fucking
weird. And it was terrifying.
Yeah, really weird.
So it was like...
Like disease on the toilet seat, Dirty, is what we're
like
gross.
Viper room light.
Yeah. Viper, pre-Viper room.
Yeah.
Preschool Viper room.
So they're planning, the girls are all planning the senior dance, and Hilary Swank is wearing this yellow leather jacket that Christy Swanson wanted. And this is how I don't know what Hilary Swank's. What's going on with me?
What's with you?
Okay.
With you?
So Hilary Swank, I don't know what her role is in this movie.
I feel like she's trying to dethrone.
Do you think that?
It feels like she's trying
to
like...
Or were they always on the opposite end of the... Like, I don't... Because it seems like she... Because she told Buffy that the yellow jacket... That was so 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You're 5 minutes ago, ma'am.
I feel like Christy Swanson's like the leader of the group.
Yeah.
She's the leader of the cheerleading squad. She's like the Kirsten Dunst character in Bring It On. And then there's this one who's trying to take her down because she's jealous of her, I feel like. And that's what Hilary Swank's role is.
See?
Is like she's her friend, but, you know, she's there to like fuck with her. And she wants to be the leader of the group. That's what it seems like to me.
She's like the Will Arnett character in 30 Rock to Don Geis.
I guess, yeah, you're supposed to be happy when a grown man spikes her head against the wall later.
Oh, my God.
You're supposed to go, yeah, she deserves
it. So they're all planning this dance, and Hilary Swank is wearing this yellow leather jacket that she had just previously told Christy Swanson,
not
like,
to buy.
Don't buy that. It's so 5 minutes ago.
Which it was.
And
5 minutes ago.
She's like, I thought that was like...
Five
a thing
ago.
Of the past.
And she's, yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm just, it's vintage, it's retro.
She said, now it's retro. And she's like, yeah.
Which so. I would be, I mean, this is the beginning of Christy Swanson not giving a fuck and just not needing to impress Hilary Swankster.
Yeah.
Which, good for you, Christy Swanson.
She's starting to get annoyed with her friends here.
So now the two guys are off. They're like super drunk and they're hanging out seemingly on like in the Hollywood
Arquette
Hills.
And Luke Perry, this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they show, and so.
Pronouns.
Luke Perry like passes out because he's super drunk. And then Pee Wee Herman shows up and he bites David Arquette and takes him. And then Donald Sutherland just shows up and he tells Luke Perry, this is not a good place to be asleep.
Yeah, on the side of a highway.
And he's like, okay, thanks, Mom. And I'm like, nobody questions this weird guy, because then in the next scene.
Well, he drags him into his car. Luke Perry's
Donald
like, cool.
Sutherland is just watching Christy Swanson do it, tumbling in the gym. And she's like, hi, can I help you?
Well, they're at school, so she thinks that he's like some sort of school official, I believe.
Maybe, and he's being super creepy.
Because she said, look, if someone's in trouble, if I'm in trouble for something, I didn't do it. She thinks he's like a superintendent or somebody from the school district.
Yeah.
At school, you don't, and if an adult is standing there.
Yuck.
And you feel like you're in trouble, you're like, oh, fuck, am I in trouble? You don't think that they're here to.
So anyway, he's like, yeah, cool. Hi, I've been looking for you. I'm actually going to take you to your birthright. It's in a graveyard. And she's like,
you mean like some kind of trust fund? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Is there any way that I can be shadier to get you to come do this graveyard thing with
me? Come on. Come hop in my car and we'll go to the graveyard.
I have candy.
Let's go. Yeah.
No.
That would be the only way to be creepier. Or if you had just a trench coat on with bare shins. You're like, uh-oh.
Okay, so he is telling her, like, to prove that he knows whatever, he's like, do you ever have, like, a dream that you're somebody else?
Yeah.
She's like, everybody does that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And he starts like specifically describing some of the different characters that she,
by name.
You know, by name and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, do you ever have these type of dreams? Just come to the graveyard.
It's like, how do you know that?
So she, I can't believe I'm going with some weird old man to a graveyard at night on a school night.
On a school night. Yeah. So she goes there.
Well,
because
you have
cramps.
To have that like, yeah. So she's having these cramps. So she keeps holding like her side and like in her uteral region, and she's like, oh, I'm having cramps. And so he says Robert Berman was found by a canal a couple of days ago. They're in a graveyard and it's a freshly, you know,
3 days already a headstone, which is not possible. It
so
takes months.
He gives her a stake and she just sits in front of this grave until Robert wakes up, because that's what
That's what
Donald Sutherland tells her to do, and she's like, whatever.
She's like, do you have any gum? And he's like, no. And then she just sits there, and I'm like, yeah, because that's funny. She doesn't have a phone, so there's no...
Do you have any gum?
It's 1991. She's like, okay, I guess I'll sit here then, because there's really nothing else to do.
Great news. Robert does come back from the dead.
He's right on schedule. He doesn't
and
make
he
him wait long.
He immediately starts fighting with Donald Sutherland. And he's like, Buffy, all the blocking for all the fights is so bad. They do like they.
There's always
hit.
A flip. They like a.
Yeah.
There's a tumble flip thing, like a wrestling.
If they
move,
need to knock out a weapon, they both are like, okay, like you can see it. They're like, one, two, like, okay. And and then they do that whole thing, and you're just like, wow.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure how wonderful of a like a hand to hand combat person Christy Swanson probably really is either.
Yeah. So
heavy on the sound effects is what I'm getting at.
This other lady wakes up. And she starts fighting with Christy Swanson, Buffy, and now it's an all-out brawl.
Ah, 2-on-2, tag
no
match.
No problem. She stabs these people, whatever. Donald Sutherland is supposed to be, like, her watcher, which is, like, he's supposed to, like, train her to be...
Yeah.
She is a slayer. She is the chosen one. But
he has no special skills except to know who she is. That's the only skill he has.
If he's... the watcher and he's supposed to train me, I'd be like, listen, Pawpaw, I saw you fighting back there. Well, that's okay. I'm going to hire somebody else.
He's just like a 60-year-old man, though. He's not, you know, he's not going to be able to do it. He's got to tell you how to do it.
So David Arquette has vampire teeth and these like crazy weird ears, and he's like floating in the window asking to be invited in to Luke Perry. And Luke Perry is not even like remotely fazed by it. He's just like,
he wakes up all hungover and he's like, what, man? All right. And he's on the second floor and dude's like outside the window. So that should have been a hint right there.
And he goes, oh, man, you're floating. Come on, get out of here.
Yeah, come on, get out of here. He goes, what's wrong with you? You on something?
What's with you, man?
Yeah, what's with you? He's like, you on something?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, man, I'm just hungry. And he's like, oh, you're floating, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
He's like,
you're floating.
Like,
Jesus.
Like David Arquette has previously had a floating problem, and he's like,
fucking floating again, floating man. Again. I'm going to call your mom and tell her you're floating again. She
Does your mom
do
know that.
That
you're floating again,
She's
David?
She's going to put you back in rehab. She told you no more floating.
By the way, Luke Perry's name is fucking Pike in this movie. Let me tell you something.
Pike?
There's nothing more than I hate than that. That's the worst.
A name
I already
that's not really a name.
Do not like... I don't care. I don't like Luke Perry.
She's got a real Perry, everybody, audience. She's got a real Perry aversion here.
I don't like anybody who is brooding.
Yeah, you're not into the brooding type.
And that they're like, life is so deep, man. Yeah. I don't get it, and I don't like it.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's not what
I don't
into.
Care. Whatever. James Dean, live fast, die hard. Yuck.
I think it's yuck.
No. Whatever it is, die young. I don't care.
Fast,
oh,
young.
That's the Live Fast, Die Hard is that movie.
I think that's probably the name of a fourth sequel.
Whatever.
To
I don't care. That's how fucking forgettable everything is that Die Hard fucking Bruce Willis co-opted
it. Now they have to give James Dean's estate a cut of that because.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. No, I agree. The brooding thing, I don't know. I get it, though, what you're saying. The brooding thing has got to be annoying. He was pretty good when he was on Oz later on, but that was post-brooding. That was when he was, like, you know, not playing, like, hey,
his name was Pike.
I'm real attractive, you know?
Pike.
I'm attractive, but I've had a tough life. That's every Luke Perry character.
I'm sad. I was sad that he was... that he fell ill and that he was no longer with us. That he's no longer with us.
Luke
I was
Perry.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry to hear about Luke Perry. I'm sure he's a very nice person. Every movie that he's in, he's always.
He was
and you're just like,
yeah.
Yuck.
He's a lot of women who are around 40 right now. He's a lot of their crushes back in the day.
Well,
like they used to fucking
ladies,
love him.
Get it together.
Well, it is better. I think on the show, though, look at what on 90210, look at what the choices were. You had him, you had Priestley, who's like a fucking elf. Priestley looks like a goddamn elf. He looks like...
And then Brian Austin Green.
He's going to like take something off and his ears are going to pop out, his elf ears. Brian Austin Green looked like a dork. And then you had that Ian Ziering guy. Nobody wants to fuck that guy. So,
yeah, but he's like in the shark movies now. He's in the Sharknado.
Yeah, he's fine now. But I mean, no, he wasn't the sex symbol of that show. So Perry wins by default in that group.
Yeah.
They were like, well, I guess he's got the best sideburns. And then that's what makes you win in the 90s.
Whatever.
That's in the sporting events. If it was a tie, they just go to Live best sideburns and from 92 to 95.
I think I made James Dean cooler by saying I just turned it into Live Fast, Die Hard.
I mean, somebody probably said it after what happened to him.
No. I think he was like sick. That's not nice.
James Dean died in a fucking car accident.
No,
driving
okay,
like an
I'm
asshole.
Sorry. I thought you meant Luke Perry.
No, not Luke Perry. James Dean.
Yeah, he definitely died in a car accident.
Yeah,
okay.
I wasn't making bad Luke Perry jokes. He died. He
was
ill.
Like,
no. No. Okay. Luke Perry was driving a Porsche like an idiot around the turn.
Resetting.
Yeah.
Resetting.
Yeah, different thing.
Here we go.
James Dean, not Luke Perry. Was driving a Porsche.
Okay, we got to stop talking
about those. I think I just said Luke Perry was driving a Porsche. No.
They're the same person. Okay. Buffy comes home. Mom's like, do you have any idea what time it is? And she really just wants to know. Like, it's like a Rodney Dangerfield movie.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, do you have any idea what time it is? And she's like, 10? Oh, okay, my watch is broken.
She
like,
goes,
whoa.
I knew this thing was slow. You're paying
no
arm
respect.
And a leg for something. Honey, are you ready to go? That's literally what
is
her
is. Is this thing
was.
On?
Yeah. Oh,
anyway.
Let's go.
But okay, so what I don't understand is that like her boyfriend was supposed to be sleeping over like the whole weekend. It was supposed to be like a fuck palace there.
Yeah.
And then she just killed two undead people and she's like, oh yeah, cool. Hi, yeah. Mom.
Hi, Mom. How you doing? Covered in dirt. She's got like vampire blood on her.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff going on.
We're having a bad dream. We're back to the vampire lair. And then we go back to the ladies' locker room. Donald Sutherland is in there for some reason.
She's, what does she call it? A naked place?
Yeah, she does call it a naked place.
That was pretty funny. This is a naked place.
Do you know what that sounds like?
What?
Okay, good. I won't bring it up then.
Okay.
I appreciate. She said that she appreciates that there's real vampires.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I appreciate knowing that there's real vampires.
Listen,
out there.
I get your plight.
And he throws a knife at her head to...
Big knife.
...prove that she's the chosen one. So she catches it and she's like, why would you throw...
You threw a knife at my head.
Stripping place.
Yeah. Oh, the stripping place. That's right. Is that the stripping place? Yes.
Okay.
A place for stripping.
I called strip club the stripping place.
Yeah, is that
and
the
James
stripping
has
place?
Been terrorizing me with it.
I have not. You laughed harder than anybody.
I know, because it makes sense.
It's just,
it
I know.
The
it's
stripping
just
place.
The stripping place is a very formal way to put it.
So she punches Donald Sutherland in the face and like breaks his nose, and he's like, "Oh well, you did it perfectly." Because she's like, "I've never thrown a punch before," and he's like, "Well, you did it perfectly."
Yeah.
So now she's convinced, and now she's Christy Martin.
Dude, cut to her, not just Christy Martin, cut to her being Bruce Lee.
She's punching bags, she's doing karate, she's fucking swing kicking, fly kicking at
she's
the fucking
She's doing giant
bag.
Like spinning roundhouse kicks where you're like, holy shit, she's
doing gymnastics, she's
flips and
climbing. She's doing like the obstacle course that you have to do like in a movie for like police exams.
Yeah, you have to pass.
Climb the wall and you have to like, what? Like, she's doing that.
She's trying to, yeah, she's doing like Demi Moore trying to be a Marine.
Yeah.
That's what she,
suck my dick.
That's what she's doing.
What if Buffy the Vampire
throwing,
Slayer said, suck my dick.
Suck my dick after she throws a wooden stake at the dummy.
Yeah.
Which she does. That's a thing that
so,
happens.
And I also love that she's doing all the gymnastics and fighting, and she's doing, ha! Yeah!
Oh, yeah. Oh, everything.
Ha!
She's great. Yeah.
Everything that she does. Ha!
And there's a huge sound effect, too. It's
boom, boom, boom.
Whole time she's got like LA gears on.
Yeah.
And her cheerleader.
Take it to the minute. Okay. So she says to Donald Sutherland, she's like, okay, so like, what do I do if I meet this guy? By the way, now that she has a purpose in life, she doesn't talk so much like a valley girl, which I was like, oh.
Yeah, her inflection totally changes.
I'm not vapid anymore because I'm serving a
totally
higher purpose.
Totally serious because I'm going to kill like vampires and stuff.
Like I'm going to be killing like vampires. Okay, so she gets called to the principal's office because she's running late for school because she's basically up at all hours of the night.
Oh,
like,
I mean, Jesus, vampire training will take it out of you. It really does. She's missing cheerleading practice.
So she's missing cheerleading practice. And then I also love that she kills a fly. You went in the other room at this point.
Mm.
She put a push pin in her mouth and she launched it. Like she went.
Yeah.
And she pinned this fly.
That's some impressive, you know.
She's done like.
Karate Kid
three,
type shit.
Yeah. She's done like 3 days where she's missed 3 cheerleading practices.
But
and
she learned
like,
that.
I have incredible aim now.
Listen, if you told the other cheerleaders, listen, I know I missed cheerleading practice for 3 days, but
watch this
and did that, they'd be like, holy shit.
You can kill bugs.
That's like. Super cool.
Yeah.
Let's get her a bunch of push pins.
So Luke Perry is like, bye, I'm getting out of here. There's something going on. Something is weird around here. And you don't want to be here either. Gets in his van and takes off.
I'm out of here.
Okay.
That's Vannon.
That's certainly Vannon. Buffy learns that her secret weapon is PMS. Okay. When vampires are around,
she senses
crampy.
Them with cramps.
So.
Which, what if she's actually... Having,
yeah.
Then what? Then she does.
And she's like,
know.
"Oh no, vampires! Listen,
no, just regular
cramps around, vamps abound."
There you go, cramps abound, vamps around.
So she's like, "My secret weapon is PMS." Great, and I'm like,
right.
"You know what? That's every woman's secret weapon, honey. PMS.
That's hers, definitely. She senses
great.
It."
So I'm. But by the way, I'm going to use that for my excuse. And like anytime I'm cramping, I'll be like, "Oh."
Vampires.
Oh, there's a bunch of assholes around. Oh, I can sense it whenever I'm cramping.
Ah, vampires.
Cramping.
Assholes.
All right. I'm about, if I start cramping, I'm cramping everybody's style. Boom. So Donald Sutherland tells her that he has lived 100 lifetimes and trained slayers in every lifetime. Okay.
That's a lot.
So like he knows
100 is so many times.
It's so many. He dies, comes back, and he's like, must find Slayer. And he's like, and you're the best one I've met so far, right?
Yeah.
So, and he's done 100 of them. So 100. He's trained 100 of them. But he's like,
bigger, faster, stronger. She's ready to go.
So he,
harder nipples. You have the hardest nipples of anyone I've seen.
Yeah. You can cut glass with those things, mama.
No one else's nipples blast consistently right through their bra.
Right. But so my question is, so he knows that he is a watcher and he's like, I have to find some lady and just like, so like, he's like a librarian in high school in Sunnydale in the show. Giles is the watcher and he's the librarian because he's around all the books.
Take your word for it.
But is Donald Sutherland, was he a librarian? Was he just like resident weirdo at
school? He's got no job because they talked about, she said, maybe like we could kill them all and then you could like get a job.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, a job. I would have been a marvelous bootmaker. And she's like, that's not a job. Like, meh, meh, meh. But he's never had a job because his whole life is spent
trying to locate her,
seeking out, and then training a goddamn vampire slayer.
Not even training, convincing. Like, don't you think that the slayer would need to be like, wouldn't she instinctively be like, oh man, I'm cramping. Like, I need to kill vampires.
Apparently not, because she didn't know they existed.
She sees a vampire movie. She's like, for some reason, I'm just so
I'm drawn to this. But she needed someone to crystallize it for her and put it all together as.
So, but yeah, that's my thing. Is like,
kill
vampires. So the vampires all know that there is a slayer. They know that a slayer exists. So
always.
They're like, whenever they hear about the, oh no, there's a slayer, they're like, shit, our days are numbered. And they're like, let's keep going.
Great. Now we got to deal with this shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when the FBI starts tapping Tony Soprano. Like, it's like, that's, you know,
we're in trouble.
Yeah. We're in trouble.
It's all starting. Indictments are imminent.
They're coming.
Yeah.
And who, you know, now you got to see who's a rat.
Nah, that's what I mean.
In your organization.
Flush them out.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was bullshit that it doesn't seem to make sense that the vampire slayer would not have any instincts. She's just like, I just want to like be a teenager and like be cool and like have fun and go to the dance.
Well, she has the physical instincts. She can catch knives. She gets cramps when vampires are around, but she doesn't know. She doesn't know. That's why. That's the thing. She just needed someone to tell her, listen, there's vampires. You didn't know that.
But I've noticed the theme is like, you know, that these girls, like, I just want to be like cool and feminine and like, you know, and pretty and whatever. And they're like, no, you're a badass chick who can fight people and you're cool. Like, girls are tough. And I'm like, I understand. But like, when I was a kid, I was arm wrestling everybody in eighth grade and loving it.
Yeah.
So I didn't need to be told that I was.
But she was that wasn't her style. That's what I mean. She was more of like,
I know,
I want to buy that leather jacket. Like, oh my God. And then they had to tell her like, listen, you're a badass. And she was like, I am.
Yeah.
And then she was. And that was good.
I'm just saying.
Not everybody knows what's within.
What's with you?
And she didn't know.
No, what I was saying is I think that's funny that I've always thought that. You know.
Congratulations to you.
Maybe I'm the chosen one.
Maybe you are. Let's look for vampires.
I'll see when I start cramping.
I was going to say, you've been crampy lately or what? What's going on?
Maybe that's been realized by me and maybe I'm the slayer.
That's all I'm saying. It is possible. Okay. You're right. I didn't think about it like that.
Thank you. So Luke Perry's van is not starting and Paul Reubens, Pee Wee Herman's jumped up on the windshield and he got stuck on the windshield /grill. And Luke Perry is just driving around in his van.
Pee Wee flinging
Pee-wee
off there,
on the grill, on the roof. I mean, that's Vannin.
That's Vannin. Pee Wee Herman flying off your roof, going 40 miles an hour through a park.
That's
Vannin.
Pee Wee Herman punching through the roof of your
van. That's right. Trying to grab you.
And his arm comes off. That's Vannin.
Because you hit a tree in the top and Pee Wee comes off, separates from his arm.
Crashing into a tree, your guitar going through the front windshield, that's Vannin.
Yeah, Luke Perry survives that pretty well, too. I mean, he's going like full speed, no seatbelt, no airbag. Pow.
And he doesn't even like, ooh, ow.
Walks right out of the van, no problem.
But hey, guess what, man? Cash, grass, or ass, Pee-wee. Nobody's riding for free.
That's right. Well, Pee-wee.
So you lost your arm. That's what I'm saying.
How about arm? Does that count in that triage?
These vampires attack Luke Perry and Buffy and Donald Sutherland show up like they're and they start killing the vampires and they're like doing an assessment. Like, so she kills a couple of vampires and he's like, good, good. And like, she's like, what?
It's like a training in a video game. It's like a training sequence.
On job training. So Luke Perry is like, traumatized by this, but he's like, hey, I've got this friend. He's all weird. He's a vampire. I've got to get out of this town. And then he says the sentence, what's with you? And then he's acting like, how come you're so flaky and complicated? Like, just be deep with me.
Yeah.
And
for Luke Perry, this has to be, because like you said, she should have some instincts, being the chosen one and all, and having these powers within her. He has nothing to do with any of this shit.
And he
are floating. People are, arms are coming off. There's
Pee-wee
badass
Herman
chicks killing people.
Broke his arm off in his van.
And he's just like, well, I mean, there's vampires. So, I mean, what's up with that? There's no like, what the fuck is going on? Luke Perry never done like.
He's down for the cause.
It's explained to him and he's like, all right, well, I mean, yeah. Like you said, they were out of this sandwich. So I got you this one. All right, cool. Like that's. No problem. Yeah. No explanation needed. Don't give me the backstory. I'm ready to go.
Luke Perry's on board.
Yeah.
He's like, look, Pee-wee Herman was trying to get into my van. I know that he ate my friend David Arquette, and now my van is totaled. So you're the chosen one, and you know, those vampires are going to get their comeuppance for messing with my van.
That's right. Well, yeah, he's going to sit at home. He's going to sit at home whittling steaks out of everything he could find.
Now he can't go to Van Nats.
Nope, he's not going to be able to go
By the
all.
Way, if you have not watched Vannin, it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's
video, and it is the greatest documentary.
It's not really a documentary. It's
an experience.
It's you just sit back and you go, what the fuck are people doing? And it's just a bunch of narrative or anything through it.
It's just you're introduced into the van life culture.
It's a real curiosity.
I watched it when I was recovering from shoulder surgery and I was on pain medication and I loved it. And then I watched it when I was not on pain medication and I loved it even more. So
that says something.
Yeah.
Medication, no medication. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's maybe it's better than Buffy.
Oh, and 26 minutes shorter than Buffy.
Yeah, that helps too.
Okay, so Buffy's nips are blasted, of course. And she's like, you can stay here, no probs. Like, you can sleep over at my house.
Totally.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm a teenager.
Because her parents are always away for the weekend.
I've decided that I love Pee-wee as a vampire. He is born to be a vampire. He should have retroactively won an Oscar for this performance.
To me, everybody should have had the same tone Pee-wee had, and this movie would have been at least like campy and funny, you know?
Buffy's boyfriend's friend grabbed Buffy's ass at school and she power slams him.
Yeah, she flips him over, then like throws him against a locker.
And I will complain about this. Her boyfriend was so much meaner to her than he was his friend.
He was mad at both of them for some reason.
He's like, don't touch my stuff to his friend.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what's with you, Buffy? Like,
yeah,
why?
What's with you?
Like, you're not going to cheerleading practice that and then you're flipping my friends?
That would have been awesome. I would have been like, fuck yeah, that's what you get for grabbing her. Like, that would have been badass.
There's more where that came from, bitch.
Yeah, that boyfriend, I don't know what the hell he's mad at both of them for. Pick someone to be mad at. Be mad at your friend.
We're at a basketball game, and there is a player on the team of the Hogs.
Yeah.
Hog power. Maybe the Hog power forward on the basketball team.
We'll see.
He looked just like Teen Wolf, but he was a teen vampire.
The guy from the beginning.
The guy with the eyebrows. He literally has blood in the corners of his mouth, giant, crazy, spiky teeth, and these crazy ears.
It's like Dr. Spock ears, or Mr. Spock, not Dr. Spock. Mr. Spock ears with like a bite mark taken out of them.
It was
like they're really hard. They're
insane. They're
really
like
noticeable.
They're like fish ears, but like pointy like elves, and then they have these like ginormous teeth and
a weird like glint in their eye, and they go around not really adhering to the rules of basketball.
Yeah. Ben Affleck just gives him the ball and he's like, take it, man. Exactly the reaction that you would have.
Take it, man.
I'm getting Dunkin' Donuts.
Getting scale for this. Just take it.
He's like, I'm getting scale for this and I will be going out with Jennifer Lopez.
I don't need this
movie.
Fine. This is good for my SAG card and everything. But
Buffy comes out from the cheerleading section and she starts fighting with the Teen Wolf guy.
Russian leg sweeps him as he runs up the floor, which, right at half court, which is pretty awesome.
All of a sudden, you can tell this was probably a punched up line. There's a girl on the court.
Yeah,
like,
there's a girl.
No, there's
stop the game. There's a girl on the court.
Ew, maybe she has her period. Okay.
She's fucking up the point guard. That's what she's doing.
So she steals some man's motorcycle. Okay, so she's chasing after this guy, and the guy says to a high school student,
yeah,
hey, do you want some real power in between your legs?
While he's on the motorcycle.
So she beats the shit out of him.
She goes, actually, I do, and then whoops his ass.
And then takes the motorcycle, absconds with this motorcycle.
Which I give Donald Sutherland credit for the foresight to go, you know what? At some point while you're fighting vampires, a motorcycle might come into play. Let's teach you how to ride one of these things.
Oh, she was like an expert motorcycle
expert rider. Stunt rider level, peeling out around corners. I don't know if she's ever ridden a motorcycle, but Donald Sutherland trained her. No wonder why she was late for school.
Yeah.
She's learning a lot.
It's a lot.
To learn like kung fu and motorcycle stunt work, that's going to, at the same time, it's going to take a while.
I was upset with this man. First of all, so you said this to a high school student.
Yeah.
Sir.
Oh, yeah, the biker.
This guy has a mortgage.
I don't think so. I think he probably has late rent payments and several eviction notices.
He's an adult. Like, he has things against him, right?
Very many.
And he says to a high school student,
yeah,
he calls her a lesbian.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And he says that he's going to tell the world. He says, you're a dyke and I'm going to tell the world. And I was like, sir.
What a weird line. First of all, it wasn't like it was like she's not a famous actress or something. Like, who are you going to tell? You don't even know who I am or where I'm. What are you talking about?
And also, like,
my parents, who cares?
I'm a high school student. You're disgusting.
Yeah, you're a gross old man who's trying to molest me.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I'm going to take your motorcycle.
He's indignant about his being rejected by a.
And I'll tell the world. Okay.
She's literally in her cheerleading outfit. Like, he's not. It's
chasing after a vampire.
She's definitely, clearly not an adult. We'll put it that way. Yeah, chasing
Gross.
A vampire.
Anyway, I was upset by that line.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'll tell the world. You know what? I'll tell the world something, too.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell them, ding dong, hi, I'm a sex offender.
Luckily, she whooped his ass and carjacked him. So, I mean, that
good
was,
for you.
I think comeuppance earned. There you
go. Luke Perry shows up and stakes the guy through the heart. So now he's like comfortable with slaying vampires and talking shit to Paul Reubens. He's like, oh, you know what I would have done to you before? Like,
a lot of stakes everywhere, too.
Yeah.
He's got like a little feud going on with Pee-wee.
So the lead vampire guy stabs Donald Sutherland in the heart, the guy that she keeps dreaming about, like Lothos or Lathos or
Loomis or Layman.
Lenovo.
Know.
Lenovo laptops.
Jay Leno, I believe his name is.
No.
He's old.
So he stabs Donald Sutherland in the heart with this stake. And Buffy says, stay still. We'll get you some help. Hello. I have been pierced through the heart and or lungs.
Huge wooden stake.
I will just not be surviving this.
Organs obliterated.
And he has a very long-winded monologue within him to get through. And
he's
then
Donald
he just
Sutherland.
Dies.
Donald Sutherland always has a monologue.
Yeah.
It's in his contract. If I'm going to die, I really got to go out spewing some shit. I got to go out spewing some wisdom.
Her friends are mad at her about not being able to decorate for the dance. They're like, excuse me, where have you been?
Yeah, where have you been? This is ridiculous. She's like, I ride fucking motorcycles.
So she's
now,
like,
okay?
I met this guy, and they're like, ew, are you having an affair? And I'm like, she is not.
Well, first I said, cool. They were like, cool. Are you having an affair? Awesome. And then she was
We're not married, so it's not an affair.
Yeah.
And then they're like really upset when they think that she's having an affair with Luke Perry, which, I mean, samesies.
He's dirty. He's like
so
par.
She's mad that, and she doesn't want to do the vampire thing. She wants to go to the dance. So she is aggressively saying, nope, I'm going to the dance. I'm not going to do anything like that. Luke Perry is like mad disappointed in her. He's like, why would you go to the dance? Because you kill vampires. Like, he's so offended that she doesn't want to be like in the vampire killing anymore.
Yeah,
like,
he's
taking
like,
it like a personal rejection.
He's like, you're the chosen one. I got looped into this shit somehow. Yeah. I'm stabbing vampires too, and now you're going to a fucking dance?
Yeah, he's
fine.
Like, listen, I'm all in. And
I'm
going to
have a Taxi Driver-esque moment in my weird, strange, above-the-garage apartment where I shave and get cleaned up and whittle many, many household items
made of
wood into vampire steaks.
Every wooden object that I own, I will be fashioning into a shiv.
One was a snow brush, like for your car, one of those that you wipe.
Steak.
It was made of wood.
Vampire steak.
He turned the other side into a steak.
But yeah, he's like,
rulers
I just,
and shit.
He's like, I'm all in. Just found out about this 42 hours ago. And like, hello. I'm Pike the Vampire Slayer.
That's it.
I'm the Vampire Slayer's assistant. I don't even give a fuck. I'm just happy to be here.
She's at a dance. I'm the man.
So, yes, here's the parallel editing of Luke Perry turning every wooden object into a stake in his bedroom, and then Christy Swanson is getting herself ready to go to the dance. Boo! Be a vampire person.
Come on.
So now we go to the high school dance. James pointed out, he said, everyone in this room is over 50 now.
Yeah, it's like all these people are like 50 and over now. None of them look like this.
So if you watch
anymore.
That, they're all over 50.
Yep.
Luke Perry showed up to the dance to go be with Christy Swanson. And I was kind of upset because I would have liked for him to have led with, I have a van full of steaks.
Listen.
Full of them.
On the way over here, I whittled a bunch of shit in my apartment, true. But then on the way over here, I came across this nice neighborhood. Picket fences everywhere. Let me tell you something. The back of my van is full.
Picket fence no more.
We can handle
all steaks.
Like a battalion of vampires at this point. Mm. We have enough steaks.
We could handle 20, 30 vampires easily.
Otherwise, all the vampires need to do is, you can't have that many wooden stakes around.
No.
There's a limit of wooden stakes you can have. So if you use enough vampires to overwhelm your wooden stake quantity, you win. Period. Yeah. You have to be willing to sacrifice some vampires because she's going to kill however many she has stakes in her bag.
Yeah.
But you keep coming with them, eventually you're overtaking her, I feel like. This is fucking ridiculous.
Well, and so they...
Well, I have a product, a reusable vampire stake. I feel like I can market this to the slayers of the world.
Well, I am the slayer because...
Yeah. Oh, Sarah the Vampire Slayer. Yeah, that's
right. Remember, I just said...
Magic period. Yeah.
I already have discovered...
So there you go. I think I'm gonna
needs
a handle.
Yeah.
You know, some like a knuckle guard so you won't slip off. You know, you can pull it down.
Yeah. We need this thing to be.
Yeah. Stay in and out. Pow. What's up?
Yeah. Like a cattle prod.
Okay. Okay. You want to mix some electricity into this thing too?
Yeah. Why not?
Electrified vampire steak.
Yeah.
Well, electricity seemed to work well on David Arquette during this dance fight scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. We spiked him up there.
Great.
Fucked him up good.
I'm excited for me and my reusable steak.
Everybody, I'm coming out with it. Don't worry.
So the vampires, Buffy and Luke Perry have been sucking each other's face for like 38 minutes. They're just dancing
the
and everybody's just like, oh,
she
look at that.
She gets publicly dumped before this.
Which, who cares? That guy sucked.
Yeah. She was like, have you seen my boyfriend? And they're like, and then she goes over and he's with one of her other friends,
and he's like, sorry, like, you know, this is just how it has to be.
He's like, I left you a message. She's like, you broke up with my machine?
Yeah.
Which is like that's the 1992 version of you
text
broke up with
breakup.
Me over text? Yeah. Or you broke up with me over
you can't text
a fucking
message
instant
breakup.
Message?
The vampires have crashed the dance. The vampires have shown up, and they're just like kind of standing in the... This has a very much a once bitten, like... Where you're all fighting in that mansion, like the vampires, like it's like this, like everybody's a cat and mouse.
Absolutely. Well, at the dance, there's a thing in Once Bitten too.
They're wreaking havoc amongst the high schoolers. The police
busting windows.
The police would absolutely have been called.
Yeah. Well, and then this—that's right. Yeah. There's no police intervention at this. This is like a suburban high school. There's
a pretty decent neighborhood.
Yeah.
These people probably have money. And they're like, those damn kids.
And the vampires are all at the door, and Christy Swanson's like, hold on, let me gather up all my stakes.
And she's like, they need to be invited, don't worry about it. And then Hillary Swank says, I already invited them, because they're seniors.
Because they're seniors, and you told me to invite all the seniors. Yeah. I didn't get that, the invitation thing, why they need to be invited.
Vampires,
you were telling
part
me this
the...
is a vampire lore thing?
Yeah.
How I would miss this my entire... fucking life.
In Twilight, they had to Edward had to be invited in. Yeah.
When? Where?
Like all the time.
Where do you have to be invited?
Into people's homes.
Well, that's just society. You don't just walk into people's homes. Yeah, that's normal.
No, but you have to say like you're invited.
Hold on.
That's why David Arquette was like, "Come on, invite me in."
I thought he was just being like sarcastic, like, come on, pal, invite me in. I'm going to eat you. And he's like, no, I'm not going
to. Yeah, because you need to be invited in.
But hold on. So they can fly and they do all this shit and they're evil and they're like straight from hell, essentially.
And
they want to kill you and bite you and do all this shit, but they won't come in a room unless they're invited. What the fuck is that? What kind of horse shit fucking trope is that shit to write in there?
They are polite, at least. You
is
have
this
to...
like original Dracula no. shit?
In order for a vampiric being to enter any owned house, whether they're humans, witches, werewolves, or doppelgangers, they must first be invited by the owner.
What the fuck
Once is this? Once invited, the vampire cannot be uninvited unless the ownership of the house changes.
Okay, then what about the like, you know...
Oh, so Hillary Swank, technically, she's not the owner of the school.
No, the principal would have to invite them, I guess. He's in charge of everything.
Or maybe Hillary Swank is...
I don't know. I don't know what the power structure is here in the school system, but
it doesn't say.
What about vampires that fly in as bats and then they turn into a vampire and then they like bite people? What the fuck about them? They didn't get invited in. Okay. Now we see that. That's an old thing.
Vampires cannot, on their own, enter a house without an invitation because the threshold on a mythological and spiritual level is considered as a kind of magical and protective barrier that gives security to the home.
Okay, so they're...
If vampires try to enter uninvited, they will get weakened or even lose their powers.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I've never heard of this before. This is crazy.
Really? Because it's with Count Dracula, too.
So I don't know how I missed this thing, but it I've seen vampire. I don't get how they can be all powerful except in case of home sovereignty. They really need to be invited in. Like so Richard Ramirez is a way more dangerous person than a million vampires, is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
The Night Stalker, way more dangerous.
Yeah.
Because he just came into people's houses. I'd rather have a billion vampires than like three Night Stalkers. This is fucked up. Vampires, yeah. You're pussies.
So David
you're not
Arquette,
allowed in my house.
Never.
Never. You're not invited.
David Arquette is lecturing Luke Perry. And he's like, these guys are all sheep, man. And he's like talking mad shit like yeah. about how Luke Perry is like not a weirdo anymore. Instead, he's like friends with.
What are you friends with Buffy for?
Yeah. So,
sucks.
Oh, because they found out that David Arquette heard that Buffy is the, when she was like, I'm going to the dance, Luke Perry,
yeah.
leave me alone. He was in a photo booth, David Arquette, and he heard her talking about that she's the chosen one and yeah. the Slayer. And David Arquette is a fresh vampire and he's like, Buffy? That's the chosen
the fuck,
one?
Bro?
And then goes and tells Pee-wee Herman and the other guy. And
yeah.
he's like, it's Buffy.
It's fucking Buffy, man.
And then Pee-wee Herman's like, it's Buffy. It's Buffy. Of course it's Buffy.
I like how Luke
Perry's
like.
They don't even know who the fuck Buffy is.
No. He only knows her name because they talked at the dive bar for two seconds. Yeah.
So she's Buffy is fighting with Paul Reubens and then the master vampire guy says that he kind of gives her the okay to stab Paul Reubens because he's lost an arm and I mean he's gotten it to the point where he can get overtaken by the Slayer, so you might as well kill him. Right,
they have a little exchange.
So the master vampire guy tries to put the moves on Buffy and she's like, oh no thanks.
But he has like a weird power over her.
Yeah.
Where, like, he can get her to, like, kind of, like, zone for a second so she, like, stops what she's doing and, like, he starts doing and something will snap her out of it. But, like, he has this weird, like, power over her, I guess, like a Dracula type of thing. Like,
yeah, that's why he has to.
Bela Lugosi style.
Oh, yeah.
Come, the fucking fingers, yeah.
Yeah. So the principal is walking around and giving all of the people with stakes in their hearts detention.
Dead.
They're all dead. And he's like, detention,
dropping
detention.
Paper referrals on their chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, detention for you. Just dropping post-it notes on them. I was like, whoa.
Way to kick these kids when they're down.
Then he smacks Hillary Swank's head against the wall.
Yeah.
Because she's complaining.
She's complaining about something and he just like hits her up against the wall and just intentionally gives her a concussion.
Grabs her forehead and just goes boom. And she just like slides down the wall.
And then at the end of it, she's like, thank you for choosing me to be Miss America.
Oh, yeah. And the news broadcast later.
This is brain damage. Look at what you've done to her. This is CTE.
He putting brain fucking
Swankster.
Hillary Swank. Yeah.
No wonder Million Dollar Baby.
Between that and Million Dollar Baby, she has no chance.
No
Nothing.
Chance.
She's totally screwed.
So.
Maybe that's why they cast her. They're like, you know what? She's the one. We saw her in Buffy.
We're going to do this.
You think she can pull it off?
So the principal gives all the dead people detention, and then Buffy fights with the master vampire, and she kills the master guy. He dies theatrically. The police come, finally.
So
it's
you never see a police.
Now.
You never see a cop. You just hear a siren in the distance denoting that they'll be there eventually.
I was disappointed because whenever there were vampires around, she would always like grab her like her uteral region.
Yeah, she's like, ugh.
Oh, I'm cramping.
Yeah, oh, I'm cramping.
But then she would never, like...
Oh, Christ, Aunt Taco.
She would never answer with, like, you know, after everything's all done. Cramps are gone, vamps are gone.
Cramps are gone, vamps are gone. Cramps out, vamps out.
So Luke Perry says he saves the last dance for her. She's like, cool, let's dance. And then they dance.
No music, sirens in the distance.
And then... There's, they do the credits.
There's a very, by the way, the ending here is very anticlimactic. The ending is like when a kid tells you a story.
Yeah.
When a child tells you a story, they give a ton of details in the front, and they're like, and then we went here, my mom's car is green, and then there was three red lights, and then there was a man on there with a shirt that they'll give you all this, and then they'll give you the last 80% of the story in 12 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then we went to this thing and the building exploded and 12, you know, all these people died. And then we went home and you're like, holy shit, that's the part I want the detail.
Yeah.
Fuck what color your mom's car is.
Yeah.
That's what this movie did. It just at the end,
very much so.
There's supposed to be like this big confrontation, sort of, because he's like also coming on to her, I guess. And there's supposed to be, is his, okay, the main vampire guy, Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
Is his goal to seduce the slayer and make her his wife? So
I don't know. I
think
so.
Then she can't slay vampires and now you can build a vampire world?
I think so.
Get her on the team?
But in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, he's trying to kill her so that he can just take over.
But he says she's immortal in this
I know. He says that they're like tethered together. So
yeah,
I'm
you're immortal. She can be a vampire, but she can't be killed.
And then that's Donald Sutherland also said, because he goes to bite her and he's like, not this one.
Not this one. She's not ready, he says. So I don't know what that means. It still would have been over at that point.
Yeah.
I don't understand anything that's happening in this movie.
I do know that Joss Whedon apparently was... He walked out of the filming because he was writing it and they did too many rewrites and he was upset about it. And who cares?
Yeah, I don't think this was anybody's first draft,
so
I would say, probably.
I looked up one of the questions on, like, people also ask is, like, is Buffy the TV show a continuation of the movie? According to the official Buffy Watchers Guide, Whedon wrote the pilot to the TV series as a sequel to his original script, which is why the TV series makes references to events that did not occur in the film. Whedon stated, the origin comic, though I have issues with it, can pretty much be accepted as canonical. Thank you, Joss.
Great.
What a fucking guy. You're accepting it into the thing.
Great.
Good Lord. Nobody cares.
This is too much for me.
Anyway.
I can't get into these things that are like a whole thing and there's a... I just don't have time. I just don't have time to deal with this and then talk about it even after it went off the air for 25 years and then have theories about it.
Well...
I can't. I just don't.
Do you know what you can do?
I have an idea, but maybe you can... Enlighten me.
You can go to the Heigl-meter.
To the Heigl-meter!
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the worst movie you've ever seen, most punishing.
Yes.
1 Heigl, not that bad.
Ain't that bad.
James? I will let you go first.
I'm going first?
This week, yes.
Okay. It sucks, don't get me wrong, but as a watching experience, it moves very quickly. Every scene is like, there's some action, there's
Agreed.
Stuff going on. There's no long scenes at all, so
no.
Everything is very fast, moves along. It's
Random
only an
cuts
hour.
Random flashbacks that don't make sense.
But they're fast.
But
it's
they're
only
fine.
An hour 26, so if you don't like it, something that's happening, it'll be a new scene soon. It's very quick, it's very easy. They attempt to make jokes, which at least you can roll your eyes at least it keeps your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it 2 Heigls.
Oh, wow.
As far, I'm starting to grade them on a curve of compared to other movies we watch.
Yeah.
And compared to like Twilight, this fucking movie is, I mean, I'd skip around in a park happy throwing flowers around that I got to watch this over Twilight. This is great. So 2 Heigls for me for this movie. Not too bad. How about you?
What do you give it? The funny thing is, James, I gave it exactly 2 Heigls
you
as well.
You 2 Heigls? Really?
Yep.
We don't share our Heigls, by the way, beforehand.
We do not. I gave mine.
We keep our Heigls private.
A 2 Heigl experience.
I think you're
hour
right.
Hour 26, even though we did have to watch a couple of Everly Well commercials.
That's not the movie's
fine.
Fault.
Hi, my name is Leanne. It's fucking Everly Well commercials.
Instead of removing all those foods and re-adding them back in.
Hi, I can't poop right for a long time, and like I'm got a lot of gas pains and stuff, so I think it's almonds.
I would just prick my finger and put blood on a card and send it in and have somebody else test it.
I offered to send them a smear of poop, but they said that wasn't necessary, just blood, but I said poop anyway.
I'm going to do that.
I'm going to do that.
That's how this one girl says it.
I'm going to send poop in an envelope.
I'm going to do that.
I'm going to do that.
No, it's not poop.
I know it's
blood.
Not poop. It's blood, but I'm just saying she said poop also just
in
case.
They give you like these prickers for you to prick your own finger and smear the blood.
Yeah, like you need, like you're testing your blood sugar.
The blood.
Like a blood sugar tester for diabetics.
I gave it 2 Heigels.
2 Heigels. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here with us.
Absolutely.
For Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's a good movie. Yeah. We have to do 50 Shades, the next movie, soon. Jesus. So we will be doing that.
God help me.
I am not sure both if I can endure Look Who's Talking To.
I can't.
I don't.
I think that series dies there. Because the next ones, the second one was pretty popular, I think. And then the one after that wasn't even like, no one watched that shit anymore.
No.
The second one was pretty popular, though. Fuck. But I don't remember anything about it. It's the same as the first one. It's a baby talking. Who gives a shit?
I don't know.
It's a girl this time, everybody.
But it's not going to be Tony Danza baby, which everybody wants Tony Danza.
It's Roseanne. Yeah. I'd watch it if it was Joan Rivers, like at the end of Look Who's Talking. You know, can we talk? That would be funny if it was Joan Rivers.
When I was a teenager, I had a great Joan Rivers impression, and I would my drama teacher would ask us to like do characters like at events and stuff, and I went to a Chamber of Commerce event, and I was Joan Rivers, and I made the newspaper.
Oh, that's cool.
I could never find that newspaper again, but they were like, and Joan Rivers was there.
Hey.
And I was just being extra mean to a bunch of people, and it was fun.
See, I'd watch Joan Rivers as a baby, but not. Yeah. I'm not interested in more of the same shit as the first one.
No, me neither. Anyway, I've got a couple of people that we should say hello and
please.
Thank you to.
Let's thank them.
Oh,
I would love to.
We've got Luella Bryan.
Thank you, Luella.
Jenny Allen.
Lee Barrett. Lee, thank you.
Melissa Silsby, Viviana Hernandez, Samantha Warren, Ashley V.O. Duty, and Jennifer Stevens. Thank you guys
everybody.
So much.
You guys are the best.
We appreciate you guys.
We really
out
do.
With
thank
us.
You so much.
And
always.
Yeah, go Heigl yourselves.
Go Heigl yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.